Hey, vegetarians, just wanted to give you a quick heads up about some changes we'll be making in 2019.
Don't worry, it's nothing dramatic.
Bum, bum, bum.
No, I said nothing dramatic.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, there you go.
I was like, how do I do the opposite of that?
It's not a big deal. And we might even try a couple different things over the next few months. So stay tuned. But basically, we are clarifying the structure and transitions to make the show more accessible and, we think, even more entertaining, educational, and engaging.
The biggest change is that we will no longer be performing the salad spinners. But do not fear. Your salad spinner suggestions are safe and sound. We have a plan for them. We would not just throw out all your hard work.
We know how much they mean to you, you weirdos.
So we wanted to share this news with you. Get excited for the changes that you'll hear in this episode and future episodes. And thanks for sticking with us. Happy 2019.
Happy 2019. Love you.
1, 2, 3, 4. Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
I'm a professional writer and your resident lyricist.
And I'm a professional musician and your resident composer.
And together, we toss up a new song each week.
Using a random music genre.
And a random topic.
That's right. Using our proprietary, patented, industrial-strength salad spinner, we randomize over 500 music genres.
And hit the random article button on Wikipedia to get our topic.
Yeah. What did we do last week, Shannon?
Last week, we wrote a medieval troubadour song about the latte factor with special guest Gabby Dunn.
That was such a fun song, and I was such a good eunuch.
You were a very good eunuch. We neglected to do any Hey Nani Nannies, though.
I know. I regret it.
Next time.
Next time. Next time we find ourselves in the Middle Ages.
Yeah, exactly. And Gabby's book is now out.
Yeah.
So you can order that on Amazon or pick it up in any fine bookseller near you.
Bad with money. So let's see what's in store for us this week as we fire up the salad spinner to generate our genre and topic. This week, we will be writing a
Southern gospel
song
about oh my god,
the name Jennifer,
but spelled with a G.
Okay.
A Southern gospel song about Jennifer.
okay, what do we know right off the bat about Southern gospel?
I know that it's about God.
It's Christian.
Yes, it's Christian.
It's traditionally from predominantly Black churches.
Yes.
We have no business doing it.
Right, pretty much. I know that it involves a lot of harmony.
Right.
And like it's a choral genre. So it's like a bunch of people singing together.
Right. It's about community.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's kind of where I tap out.
And for me, I know that it traditionally involves the organ as accompaniment, because it's in a church.
Yeah,
usually.
Makes sense.
And it originated out of African-American spirituals and also hymns. So that's a good start before we do some real research, I guess.
I think so. We also did a more pop version of a gospel song.
Contemporary gospel,
right.
So I'm thinking Southern gospel is probably going to be more traditionally rooted.
Yeah. If you want to hear that episode, you can go to episode 39. Those warbles were fuzzy is what it's called. It is a contemporary gospel song.
That was like 100 episodes ago.
It was a long time ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. What do we know about our topic?
This is one of those. So we've done name songs at least once before. Remember we did Twitty as a song?
Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah, except we ended up picking one of the Twitties that was listed.
Right.
And we kind of like did his life story. He was the guy, wasn't he the Martha White flower guy?
Yes.
So this is Jennifer with a G.
I don't know any Jennifers that spell it with a G.
Me either.
So we have no personal experience with this topic.
No, we don't. I know a lot of people named Jennifer, but spelled the normal way.
Yeah, but they don't matter this week. No. We're going for Genifers.
Hello, Genifers.
We hear you. We see you.
You've been ignored for so long, Genifers.
Today is your chance to shine. Today is your day, Genifer.
Some gospel for Genifer.
Oh, gospel for Genifer.
Sounds matter. Letters matter, guys.
Oh, come man. On. Okay.
Okay.
Let's learn about Southern gospel.
Yeah, let's go.
All right. Now we know everything there is to know about Southern gospel.
Well, let's just start off by saying we were totally wrong about one of the things we already said about Southern gospel.
True. It is not traditionally from Black churches of the South.
Yeah, it's not what's called quote unquote Black gospel. It is right. Specifically the like white people version of that, basically. Yeah.
Because it rose out of other Southern music traditions.
Yes.
Yeah, it was an eclectic musical form. Which included traditional hymns, a cappella songs, country music, bluegrass, spirituals, and what are called convention songs, which we'll get into in a little bit. And it grew out of the traditions of white musicians of the American South, as we said, which is why it's called Southern gospel as opposed to Black gospel.
Yeah. The most common arrangement, I guess, of musicians was a quartet, generally... Mm-hmm. An all-male quartet.
Yes.
Either singing a cappella or around a piano.
And the four vocal parts that would be in that quartet would go from high to low. So you'd have your high tenor. You would have your second tenor, who is also sometimes singing lead lines, like melody lines. You would have the baritone, who often sings the melody lines as well. And then you would have the bass, who is the fun one.
One.
Traditionally.
It's the Joey Fatone of the group.
Exactly. Just like NSYNC.
Just there to, you know, lighten the mood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Similar to a barbershop quartet.
Right. The establishment of Southern gospel as a genre was right around the turn of the 20th century. So we're talking like 1910. Mm-hmm. And even though this music was being performed before that, that was the first time that it was published.
Right. So one of the most popular songs at the time that publication happened was called The Old Time Religion. And I found a recording from 1873.
That's crazy.
Of the Fisk Jubilee Singers singing Old Time Religion. So let's listen to a little bit of that right now.
Was good for the Hebrew children. Was good for the Hebrew children. It was good for the Hebrew children, and it's good enough for me.
The old-time religion, the old-time religion, the old-time religion is good enough for me.
As you heard, there is a quartet of men singing the song a cappella, which means without musical accompaniment. So that's pretty cool. That we still have recordings from that time.
Yeah, that's honestly really crazy. So Scott mentioned convention songs and convention singers. And this rose out of the tradition of organizing big conventions, literal conventions, where a bunch of Southern gospel groups would all get together and then perform together.
Yeah. And one thing that rose out of this number of people coming together was a different structure of the songs. They would have homophonic sections and contrapuntal sections. And homophonic means everyone singing the same words at the same time in the same rhythm. And contrapuntal sections mean that each group member has a unique lyric and rhythm. So they switch back and forth between these different sections using the number of singers that they have to put it together. One example of a convention song is Heavenly Parade, and here is a little snippet of a group called the Cathedrals singing Heavenly Parade, and because it's at a convention, there's actually six singers rather than four here. Again, all men in this example.
Ambassadors true for Jesus our Redeemer, and it is a lost crusade. For right against the wrong, but soon we'll join the throng in heaven when the saints parade.
For heaven's king, with that they can sing the story of his heaven.
Let his heaven be.
It will be very high.
With that glad and happy band,
we'll probably
So, as you heard, there was a section where each member of the sextet was singing overlapping individual lines rather than everything in block harmony, as we heard in the example of Old Time Religion.
Yeah, just a big jumbledy scrum of everybody, everybody singing on top of each other.
I would not think it was incorrect if you told me there was a gospel song called Jumbledy Scrum.
Or a Jellicle cat named Jumbledy Scrum. Right?
Oh, man. Fake Jellicle cat names is a very good game.
Jellicle cat name generator needs to happen.
There should be like an AI Jellicle cat name generator.
That's a really good point. I will call one of our computer scientist friends and get them on
We'll get that developed.
Yeah. So more contemporary or progressive Southern gospel kind of mixes it up a little bit, and it has more instrumental accompaniment or has a more contemporary feel. But most people would say that the lyrical content is what designates Southern gospel from other potentially related or confused genres.
Okay.
Like praise and worship or contemporary Christian music. The lyrical content has to maintain a clear evangelistic or testimonial slant. And what I mean by testimonial is, so like testimonials or testifying in the church is when you give voice to your own personal relationship or faith journey publicly.
Cool.
So that's what, if someone is testifying, it means they're like talking about their relationship with God and sharing that.
Gotcha.
So the difference between Southern gospel and praise and worship is that Southern gospel isn't directed to God.
Oh.
It's about God.
Wow.
So praise and worship is specifically like, hey, God, listen to what we're saying.
Uh-huh.
Please help us, bless us. You're awesome. Cool job.
Thanks for all the existence and stuff.
Yeah, it's that thing.
Yeah.
Versus Southern gospel is just about,
let me tell you
God.
About my friend Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. And then contemporary Christian can have, I guess, quote unquote, double entendre lyrics where you're not expressly singing about God, maybe, but then you kind of are.
So
it's
creed.
Sneaky. Yeah. You know, it's like he lifts me up and makes me feel loved or whatever. And it's like, oh, who's the he? Is it a capital he? Or is it just like he? So that's the difference between those three genres. Southern gospel, explicitly Christian, but not explicitly directed at God. It's not a DM to God.
You're not sliding in God's DMs.
No. You're just talking about, you're just gossiping about
right,
him.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's great. All right. So let's summarize real quick.
Yeah. What are the hallmarks of Southern gospel?
Yeah. What makes Southern gospel, Southern gospel?
Well, so, I'll tell you from a lyrical standpoint,
tell me.
It's about God, but not to God. And not sneakily about God.
Yes.
Yeah.
And musically, it incorporates vocal harmonies, and it can either be a cappella or accompanied by a small set of instruments. And you can have a couple different forms of the songs, either convention songs, which include both contrapuntal and homophonic sections, or you can have more traditional songs, which are simply homophonic and include solo singing on verses.
So I think we're at about as much as we're going to be able to learn about Southern gospel here.
I think so.
Which means we need to move on to Gennifer.
It's time to research the mysterious Gennifer.
Who is she?
Who is she? What is she about? What makes her tick?
Well, she's got to be about God.
Today.
Today, Gennifer is all about God. Or Jod, I guess.
Oh. Have you met Jesus?
Oh, no.
Okay, let's go do some research and come back when we know more.
Let's.
Talk about Jennifer.
Yeah, we definitely need to stop saying Jennifer.
Well, I have something to say about that, but okay. I'll save it.
Okay, so the Wikipedia article is very, very brief on Jennifer with a G.
Yeah, read it to us.
There are four bullet points and this intro. Jennifer is a given name. Notable people with the given name include...
And then the four bullet points.
Jennifer Brandon, Jennifer Choldenko, Jennifer Flowers, and Jennifer Hutchinson.
Interestingly, all American.
Yeah, all of them. That's right.
Now, Jennifer Flowers was the first autocomplete when I typed in Jennifer with a G to Google.
Yeah.
And if you don't know who she is, she had a sex scandal with President Bill Clinton.
Yep. And was a model, an actress, and had a lot of, just like a lot of time in the public eye because of this scandal. And she was...
She's since written books about it.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot that you can say about that whole scandal. It all would have gone down so differently today.
Oh, yeah.
Than it did then.
Right.
So Jennifer Flowers is probably the most prominent Jennifer with a G that people would think of.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other Jennifers, Jennifer Hutchinson, is a television and film writer, most notably on Breaking Bad.
Cool.
She now writes on Better Call Saul.
Oh, makes sense.
Yep. Then the other Jennifer Choldenko, is an American writer of popular books for children and adolescents. And she was a finalist for both the British Carnegie Medal and the American Newbery Medal for her book, Al Capone Does My Shirts.
Okay.
Which is about a family moving to Alcatraz.
Wow.
I don't know.
Okay.
And then the final notable Jennifer is an American basketball player who's 2 years younger than we are. And she played in the NBA, WNBA, as part of the Chicago Sky.
All right.
She's 6'2".
Very notable Jennifers.
Notable tall Jennifers.
Well, let's talk about the popularity of the name Jennifer, because there are only four bullet points here.
Yeah. Jennifer with a G specifically, right?
Yes. Specifically Jennifer with a G.
Yes.
So according to like baby naming websites that I looked at.
Okay.
The name Jennifer with a G didn't even appear on any lists of popular baby names until 1968.
Okay.
And debuted in position number 2,472.
All right. So it was a dark horse.
And it peaked in popularity in the 1970s.
Okay.
I guess. And overall, at the current moment, its level of popularity is 1 in 301,187 people.
Wow.
You want to talk about the origins of the name Jennifer?
Yeah, sure.
Apparently it comes from the Welsh Gwenifar, spelled Gwenhwyfar, which translates to fair lady.
Is that I'm sure it's related to the name Guinevere, right?
Exactly.
Ah, okay.
Well, actually, the name Guinevere comes from the Welsh Gwenifar.
Oh, so it's... Oh, okay, so the order was just backwards in my mind.
Yeah.
Guinevere was first.
Then Guinevere. Then Jennifer. Jennifer. So the G is the OG.
Wow, the G is the OG.
The G is the OG.
OGG.
Which is why I think it's okay to say Jennifer, because it's originally the G... And if you listen to pronunciation websites saying the name Jennifer with a G in different languages, a lot of them have a hard G.
Yeah, and Guinevere is a hard G.
Right. So we have permission to use Jennifer as the pronunciation in our song.
That's great.
Is it?
I mean...
It is. Is it? Yes, it is.
I'm totally baffled by how we're going to write a song about Jennifer when Southern gospel as a genre comes with a built-in topic.
That's
which
true.
Is God.
And we've tackled this before with examples like our Hanukkah song episode, where there was a built-in topic to the genre.
And it was really hard.
Yeah. So let's brainstorm how Jennifer meets God.
Ooh, how Jennifer Meets God is like a Beverly Cleary book. It's Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret.
Are You There, God? It's Me, Jennifer.
Yeah.
Well, we could come up with a story, a tale, a parable about Jennifer and her relationship with God.
A modern parable.
True.
About Jennifer.
Do you think that still fits into the Southern gospel wheelhouse?
Maybe. I might need to do a little more research on lyrics.
Okay.
And read some more Southern gospel songs.
Okay. Well, let's try to explore that direction to go in. And while you're doing that research on lyrics, I will start figuring out how I'm going to incorporate the vocal harmonies we need and maybe some instrumental accompaniment as well, and also decide on a structure of the song.
All right. Let's get to work and meet back here.
Good luck. All right. What have you been working on for our Southern gospel song about Jennifer?
Well, at first I read a bunch more songs.
Okay.
Because I was looking to see if there was any type of story song that we could kind of play off of.
Yeah. See if there's any mold that we can break.
Yeah. It didn't super appear like there was.
Okay.
There were a couple instances. One, I think was called I Live in Canaan Now. That was kind of a story, but mostly they're more meditative, I guess I would say. So sure. It's like more about like the ways in which we are praising and glorifying God, or the ways in which God and Jesus are great and the things they do in our lives. And like, let's do a bunch of very repetitive, like upbeat, fun choruses about it.
Sure.
So I kind of had to shoehorn Jennifer into it. So lyrics. Regular rhyme scheme going for here.
Okay.
I'm actually going to start on the chorus, which is, I don't think, uncommon.
No.
Because it's the thing that, like, rouses everybody and gets everybody, like, on board with the song.
The Beatles did that a lot. A lot of their songs just start with the chorus.
Yeah, that's true. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it gets people, like, excited and singing along immediately.
Yep.
And then we go into a very short verse and then back to the chorus. And in keeping with how the other songs are structured, the verse will be the jumbledy scrum.
The jumbledy scrum
part.
Yes. The contrapuntal verse.
That's
in the style of convention Southern gospel songs.
Right. So all of them singing different melodic lines, even if they're saying the same words.
Yes.
Got it.
So homophonic chorus, contrapuntal verse.
Love it. So here are the lyrics. They're about how Jennifer was like an example of how other Christians should be.
Okay, great.
That's kind of how I went for this.
Cool.
All right, so here's the chorus. Jennifer was good. Oh, Jennifer was good. Yes, hallelujah, she was good. She prayed all day and prayed all night, and Satan got an awful fright because God saw that Jennifer was good. Then the...
I love it.
Yeah, I don't know. Then the verse, in God's country, we all follow an example of how to shout and praise the Lord and sing of someone whose faith could not be trampled, who lived to testify Jesus is king.
Hey.
And then we go back to the chorus. Oh, Jennifer was good. Blah, 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 blah.
Very nice. Jennifer was good.
She was very good. Good for God and Jesus.
Oh, man. I love it. That's a good title, too.
Jennifer was good.
Easy to remember.
Very. I did want to talk about an interesting little factoid I uncovered about a guy who was in one of these quartets. His name was J.D. Sumner.
Yes.
You've heard of this man.
I have, actually.
Okay. So his claim to fame was that he could sing. He held the record for singing the lowest note until 2002, which was 4 years after he died, actually.
He sang the lowest note 4 years after he died?
No. He held the record until...
Oh, someone else sang a lower note 4 years
later. Yes. He was so talented. The note was reverberating from beyond the grave.
Someone just like walking by his tombstone and heard.
Oh. Yeah, exactly.
Wait, is that you, JD?
Can we play a little bit of his like crazy low notes? He used to do this live, like as a kind of like party trick, sort of.
Right. So here's an example of him starting on an already low note and then sliding down to something almost inhuman.
Yeah, he said this man has the vocal cords of a hippo. Like, he really does sound like, if you like, you can listen to more examples of him doing this, but he sounds like Jurassic Park dinosaur noises of the like low T-Rex like burbly noises.
Right.
It like doesn't make sense that a human could resonate at that frequency. So that is neither here nor there with the lyrics. But
fun fact.
It's a fun factoid that we wanted to share.
Well, I'm going to be having my quartet of singers, meaning myself four times.
Demon choir of Scots coming right up.
Or angel choir of Scots there this week, I guess.
Yeah, true.
I will be singing tenor one, tenor two, baritone, and bass. Not quite as low as J.D. Sumner on the bass,
boo.
But, you know, getting down there as much as I can. And I will have piano accompaniment. There are a lot of examples of these quartets of singers singing along with piano just to provide a little bit of extra support harmonically and keep things structurally sound once you go into all of the counterpoint with each person singing their own line. So as a little fun example of how the counterpoint comes together, I'm going to play you individually what the tenor one is doing, what the tenor two is doing, what the baritone is doing, and what the bass is doing. And then in the song itself, you'll hear what they sound like all layered together. So here's the first line from tenor one.
In God's country, we all follow an example of how to shout and praise the Lord and sing.
Here's the first line from tenor two.
In God's country, we all follow an example of how to shout and praise the Lord and sing.
Here's the first line from baritone one.
In God's country, we all follow an example of how to shout and praise the Lord and sing.
And first line from the bass.
In God's country, we all follow an example of how to shout and praise the Lord and sing.
I can't wait to see how it all comes together.
Will it?
I'm on pins and needles over here.
Well, here is Gennifer Was Good.
A Southern gospel song.
About Gennifer.
Just the name. Just Gennifer.
By Shannon and Scott.
Oh, she was good.
Gennifer was good. Oh, Gennifer was good. Yes, hallelujah, she was good.
She was good.
She prayed all day and prayed all night. And Satan got an awful fright, because God saw that Gennifer was good. In God's country, we all follow an example of how to shout and praise the Lord and sing.
And shout and praise the
faith could not be trampled.
Who wants to taste of
God? Jesus is King.
Jesus is King.
Gennifer was good. Oh, Gennifer was good. Yes, hallelujah, she was good.
She was good.
She prayed all day and prayed all night. And Satan got an awful fright, because God saw that Gennifer was good.
She's good.
God saw that Gennifer was good.
Oh, boy.
The angel choir. It's back.
You are not a bass, not a bass. No treble.
Hey, I had to sing a low E. It was low.
It was very low.
It was about an octave higher than J.D. Sumner can sing.
Yeah.
She was good. There it is.
She.
It was fun listening to you kind of bottom out the way a car going over a bump scrapes the undercarriage. Yeah.
Oh, man. That did scrape my undercarriage. I'm feeling raspy.
It scraped the undercarriage of my soul.
Right. My vocal range for this whole thing as a quartet was four octaves.
Whoa.
Which is kind of crazy. That's like Mariah Carey.
Doesn't she have like a seven octave voice?
Yeah, it's almost like Mariah Carey.
Almost.
Just call me Scott Carey.
No.
Mariah Wasserman.
Mariah Wasserman. Great.
Can you imagine being a traveling, like, Southern gospel convention singer in the 50s or something?
I literally can't. This is so far out of my realm of lived experience in so many ways. I literally cannot.
How fun, though.
I guess it'd be fun.
Be a lot of fun.
But you wouldn't have a, like, what would you do on the bus? You don't have your, you can't play Angry Birds.
You would sing. I'm sure they just sang. Oh, man.
Yeah,
all
probably.
The time.
Yeah.
There was no times when they were not singing.
That was like, did you go on like bus trips with your like choir and stuff in high school?
Yes.
And you'd
have
all
you
just
met
sing?
Me?
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I know. Oh, goodness.
My high school experience was one giant choir bus trip.
Just incorrigible children harmonizing in McDonald's's.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know we sang La Vie Boheme.
Perfect.
One day more, everything.
No, but seriously, I'm very impressed, especially with how the verse all fit together.
Thanks.
It was really cool to listen knowing that they were all literally singing the same thing, but not at all singing the same thing.
Same words.
Yeah, same words.
Different melodies, but all within the same simple chord structure. And that's kind of like how I made it a little bit easier for myself, was that it was a very minimal set of chords that repeated throughout the song, so that as long as I knew that each individual melodic line fit into whatever chord was playing underneath it, it would most likely line up with anything else being sung around it.
So is that the trick to making things sound good together? Is just
keeping it in the right chord.
Yeah, that's it? That's all you gotta do?
Pretty much. And like, there are, you know, this is getting into music theory a little bit, but let's get into it.
Yeah.
There are chord tones and there are non-chord tones.
Okay.
So if you have a C chord, that's C, E, and G are chord tones. And then the non-chord tones are any other note. So when you're writing a melody that you want to be able to overlap with other parts in a certain chord, you want to focus on making sure those chord tones are the ones that land on strong beats and last the longest, and all of the non-chord tones just pass quickly in between so that they don't like linger in your ear as something that sounds out of the chord.
Got it.
So you're a composer now.
That makes so much sense. It's like when you're cooking,
uh-huh,
and you want to unify your dish,
uh-huh,
you use the same main spices or flavorings,
right,
in the main course and like the side dish and, mm-hmm, the salad or whatever.
Yeah.
So that it all tastes like it came from the same place, even if, you know, there's maybe garlic and lemon and everything.
Right.
But you might have shallots in one and red pepper in another, but the overwhelming flavor is unified.
That's very astute.
Thank you. Ideal in metaphor.
Cooking and composing are very connected. It's all about texture and balance and good taste.
This got so twee so fast.
Twee.
Ugh, gross.
Well, if you want to see what we're going to cook up next week.
Yeah.
You should subscribe to our podcast.
Yeah.
If you haven't already.
We'd love to have you.
And if you are subscribed, thank you very much for listening. And thank you to all of our loyal vegetarians that follow us on Twitter at SongSaladCast.
You can also come join us on our Facebook group. We'd love to have you over at Song Salad Podcast - the produce section.
It's a grand old time.
It is. You can also check out our merch and get links to our Patreon page and news and events. All of that good stuff is on songsaladpodcast.com.
Yes. Thank you to our Patreon donors.
Yeah, you guys are awesome.
You can look forward to some very bad bassy outtakes in the content.
Guys, they're great. Just telling you, they're great.
Until next week.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And we're reminding you that
Gennifer makes the best salad.
God, I love Gennifer's salad.
She's the best.
You know, she makes that great broccoli salad. She brings it to all the potlucks.
Speaking of lemon and garlic, am I right?
Is that what you put in broccoli salad? Don't you put ham in broccoli salad?
I don't know. I've never had it.
It's not good. Oh.